It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome aboard. Uncommon cold about to settle in tonight across the listening area. Freeze warnings and frost advisories in effect through 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Now, it'll dip below freezing overnight tonight in Cattaraugus and Allegheny counties in western New York. Meteorologist Kevin Williams says for those of you hoping for some much-needed rain, well, you'll be disappointed.
Little significant rain before late next week. Parts of our area remain dry, could use the rain, but it's not coming.
We definitely could use a little precipitation. There's a drought warning in effect for the northern tier. Much of the region under a drought watch and no rain in sight. President Trump and Joe Biden both in Minnesota today with Election Day just 46 days away. The Trump campaign hopes to flip that blue state red in November. Now, Mr. Trump lost the land of 10,000 lakes to Hillary Clinton by less than 45,000 votes back in 2016. Early voting starts today in Minnesota, Virginia, and South Dakota, and the president has his concerns with that process.
The votes come in, they have no idea, they can't count them. And I don't mean they're off by a little bit. They're off by 20%, 25%. There's fraud. There's missing ballots.
Trump on the stump last night in Wisconsin. 14 more states start sending out mail-in ballots tomorrow. This Wisconsin Democrat says in-person voting is the only way to go.
Election day, I'll go and stand in line and vote. I don't trust it any other way. I want my vote to be counted.
And this Pennsylvania Republican says there is nothing fail-proof about mail-in voting.
I'm not against mail-in voting, but I do think that there could be some room for error there or some shady dealings, maybe.
Election experts predict this year, the year of COVID-19, up to 3/4 of all voters will cast their ballot before Election Day. A new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll out today finds only 44% of voters believe that mail-in ballots will be counted accurately. Political pundits say Joe Biden fielded a lot of softballs in the parking lot of a baseball stadium last night in Moosic, Pennsylvania.
This town hall for Biden should be a in-kind contribution to the Biden campaign. I mean, is this serious?
Radio talk show host Dan Bongino just listened to the line of questioning during the town hall forum aired on CNN.
If you were president, could you see a scenario where you downplayed critical information so as not to cause panic?
How will you handle Russia's involvement with Trump?
I look out over my Biden sign in my front yard and I see a sea of Trump flags. What is your plan to build a bridge with voters from the opposing party?
Do you think it's still possible to reach across the aisle?
Now contrast that to the line of questioning the president faced two nights earlier during a town hall event aired on ABC in Philadelphia.
Why did you throw vulnerable people like me under the bus?
Why don't you support a mandate for national mask wearing?
If you believe it's the president's responsibility to protect America, why would you downplay a pandemic?
Do you think it's okay to be dishonest?
Media critic Joe Concha.
One town hall was infinitely more challenging than the other. The moderator last night in Anderson Cooper didn't even challenge or fact check Joe Biden even once. For instance, when he said that if the president did his job, there would be zero COVID deaths in this country. I would think if I'm moderating that, I would say, hey, now wait a minute. So it's very apparent what we saw between the two candidates. One obviously hostile, the other one hospitable.
Biden and Trump square off for the first of three debates a week from next Tuesday in Cleveland, Ohio. Chris Wallace of Fox News will moderate. Starting this Sunday, two popular apps will be banned, TikTok and WeChat.
The Trump administration sees the popular Chinese-owned apps as a national security threat. A Commerce Department statement accuses China of using the popular messaging app WeChat and the even more popular video service TikTok to hoard users' location data and browsing and search histories, all allegedly in service to Chinese intelligence. The White House has insisted the services be sold to an American company or be stripped from U.S. app stores. The deadline is now Sunday.
Correspondent Stephen Portnoy, nearly 500,000 people are without power from Hurricane Sally along the U.S. Gulf Coast. Significant damage in southern Alabama and the Florida Panhandle.
It's really upsetting me because this is my home and I don't want to lose my home.
The water is knee-high on the streets of Pensacola, Florida. Correspondent Manuel Bohorquez is there.
We're not seeing necessarily widespread damage, but heavy damage in pockets where there are boats that are scattered, that are leaning on houses, where buildings have had their roofs basically peeled off by the storm.
These Gulf Coast residents tell their harrowing tale of what it was like to ride out the storm.
You hear that house moving back and forth, and I mean, it was literally moaning and cracking back and forth.
The winds were high. It was whistling like I never heard anything before.
The storm dumped heavy rain on North Carolina and Southern Virginia last night. Our listening area, starved for rain, will see none from this storm. Moves out to sea today. In fact, no rain in the forecast for much of drought-stricken New York and Pennsylvania until at least the end of next week. Well, rain is in the forecast today in the Pacific Northwest, and that is welcome news in the fight against those wildfires.
This is a good sign.
Oregon Governor Kate Brown says they'll be looking now into what caused these historic fires.
In the coming weeks, there will be thorough investigations to determine the exact cause of these fires.
She says utility companies could be held liable if downed power lines are proven to have started these blazes. There are still thousands of Oregonians chased from their homes, not knowing what they'll find when they come back.
Scary. You don't know what's going to happen. I just, you know, pray that we come back to a home. And if we don't, it's just stuff.
Some of the largest fires still ablaze are in Oregon. Drug makers on the front lines of developing a cure for coronavirus say it will not work if people don't get vaccinated. Dr. Stephen Hoge is with the pharmaceutical giant Moderna.
The goal of developing a vaccine is not to get a vaccine approved. It's to stop the pandemic. And that will only happen if hundreds of millions of Americans agree to get vaccinated.
Moderna announcing yesterday it probably will not have a vaccine until next year. Several other drug companies hope, however, to get one on the market this year. Navy Admiral Brett Giroir, a member of the Coronavirus Task Force, says the apparent vaccine disconnect between President Trump and his CDC director, well, he says it's being overblown.
The CDC director was correct that widespread use of a vaccine, hundreds of millions of people, will probably not happen until mid-next year. But the point that I want to emphasize is we could immunize 5 or 10% of the population and get 90% of the benefit.
In the battle of the bulge, America is losing. The CDC says in this country today, 4 out of every 10 Americans are dangerously obese. That's the highest number ever. Nutritionist April Murphy.
It's very alarming. It's concerning.
Jim Brown runs a gym in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, and says the pandemic is partly to blame.
You know, with the COVID, the average weight gain was 15 pounds. We call it the COVID-15.
Murphy thinks the longer this pandemic goes on, the worse our weight gain will get.
I think it can continue on that path. I think a lot of it relates to stress, lack of activity, and a lack of education.
Mississippi has the worst rate of obesity of any state in the country, while Colorado is home to the fittest Americans. Tom Hanks helped make Forrest Gump a classic.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
The movie won 6 Oscars in 1995. The novel Forrest Gump came out a decade earlier. And the book's author has just died at his home in Fairhope, Alabama. Winston Groom wrote 15 novels, but none bigger than Forrest Gump. Groom was 77 years old. Still to come on the Noon Report for Friday, Pennsylvania Supreme Court handing Democrats a huge victory. More on the new nursing home visitation regulations and our churches becoming breeding grounds for COVID-19, a local health official weighs in, but first a check of the weather. Weekend weather with Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. We're looking at an early autumn-like weather pattern that'll carry us through the weekend with sunny, cool days, clear, and in some cases, frosty nights. I'll be back with forecast details in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin, we'll see you then. Checking the stories from New York and Pennsylvania. The jobless rate in Pennsylvania took a nosedive last month. Today, the Keystone State said the unemployment rate for August fell by over 2 percentage points to 10.3%. It was 12.5% back in July. With the return of church, local health officials across New York say they're seeing a spike in COVID cases.
Over the past month or so, we have counted at least 70 cases of COVID-19 in Monroe County that are connected to individuals who regularly go to church or who have been in close contact with a family member, a coworker, or a friend who does.
That is Monroe County Health Commissioner Dr. Michael Mendoza. He says while church does offer families much needed hope during these dark days, it can also be a breeding ground for the virus.
Wear a mask, especially if you cannot keep 6 feet apart from others, and wash your hands. Limit handshaking, hugging, kissing, and other physical contact if you can, and consider pre-recorded music instead of a choir. We know that singing can pose a heightened risk.
Over 40 COVID cases have been linked to a church in Chemung County, New York. One person connected to that church has died from the virus. Parents in the Williamsville, New York school district are threatening legal action if they do not get some FaceTime with the superintendent today. They are outraged that that district has gone to entirely online learning, no in-class instruction. 1,500 families in the district have signed a petition demanding the schools open back up in Williamsville, New York. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court has just handed Democrats 2 huge election wins in the battleground state.
It really makes the access to voting better, and so I welcome the decision.
Governor Wolf obviously pleased with the outcomes, but the state's top Republicans call the rulings political by a Democrat-dominated high court.
This court opinion really goes beyond the pale, makes our election, the integrity of the process in question, and really raises a lot of concerns about the security of the process.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court says it will allow 3 extra days to count mail-in ballots after the election and has kicked the Green Party off the ballot. Democrats were worried that the Green Party could have siphoned votes away from Joe Biden. The Orleans County, New York sheriff investigating the deaths of a man and a woman in the town of Ridgeway. The husband and wife, James and Sherry Payne, discovered in their home by their son. Both had been shot. Sherry Payne had also been stabbed. Autopsies are being conducted today. New relaxed nursing home regulations in New York are being welcomed with open arms. The facilities themselves say patients are in desperate need of human contact.
Reducing it from 28 days to 14 days just allows us for more opportunities to be able to open up to our visitors.
Nursing homes that are COVID-free for 2 weeks will allow visitors so long as those visitors have proof that they have tested negative for coronavirus.
Your nursing home population is your most vulnerable. So that is the reason for the test. And I think that's important, and I think that's a good safety precaution.
The visitation rules require only 2 family members per patient are allowed in the nursing home at one time. They must also meet in a designated area of the nursing home.
We need to make sure that our visitors adhere to our infection control policies. Everybody will have to wear a mask. Every visitor has to be screened before they can come in.
At least 6,600 nursing home deaths in New York are blamed on the coronavirus. The Pennsylvania Family Institute is teaming up with evangelist Franklin Graham for the 2020 Prayer March happening in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., September 26th. That's a Saturday, and it'll take place on the National Mall. Organizers are careful to call this march a prayer event, not a political protest. Participants are encouraged not to bring any signs in support of any candidate or a party. And a big question still in Buffalo, will there be fans in the stands at any of the Bills games this season? Family Life's Bill Price has more.
Erie County Executive Mark Polenkar says maybe.
There's still a chance there'll be fans attending Bills games this season. There's still a chance.
Polenkar says the issue isn't fans sitting in the stands, it's fans moving around.
The problem is the ingress, egress, the entry, the exit, the going to the bathrooms, in the concourses in halftime.
No fans will be allowed to attend home games in Buffalo for the rest of this month, but officials say the rest of the season still up in the air in Buffalo. Bill Price, Family Life News.
All right, Bill, thank you for that. We've got more sports next, the 2-Minute Drill, a Friday edition. Here's Sonny Delphia.
Thanks, Bob. We start on the ice, and it's over for the Islanders.
Scores! Bordesi! Yes! Torelli has scored in overtime!
Lightning win 2-1 to advance to the Stanley Cup Final against the Dallas Stars. Still looking pretty good for the future, says Anders Lee for the Isles.
Trying to still process it all right now, but I think moving forward, our room, it's going to be nice to move forward with these guys.
To the NBA, the Heat down 17 rallied to beat the Celtics 106-101 to win Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals in Orlando and to take a 2-0 series lead. The Lakers and Nuggets play Game 1 of their West Final tonight. This just in, Milwaukee Bucks superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo has won his second consecutive MVP award. He joins Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon as the only players to win the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year award in the same season. The Battle of Ohio. Browns rushed for 215 yards and 3 touchdowns, held off Joe Burrow and the Bengals 35-30 in Cleveland. Baker Mayfield.
Great effort by both our offensive line and our running backs.
Major League Baseball. The Yankees put the Bombers back into the Bronx. They had already hit 4 home runs in the 4th inning and then.
High fly ball, deep left center. There it goes! How about 5? See ya! A home run for Gleyber Torres. The Bronx Bombers are flexing. 9-2 Yankees.
Yankees go on to win 10-7, hitting 19 homers in their 3-game sweep. That's the most in Major League Baseball history, scoring 43 runs also. How you like that, Aaron Boone?
That was a lot of fun. I mean, to see the guys, you know, obviously a tie game going into that inning, and then, you know, everyone just started unloading with just really good at-bats.
Elsewhere, the Pirates over St. Louis. Mets beat Philadelphia. Twins fall to the White Sox. Cleveland beat Detroit 10-3. Justin Thomas holds a 1-stroke lead after the first round of the U.S. Open. Shot a 5-under-65 at Wingfoot. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
All right, thank you very much for that, Sonny. And still to come on the Noon Report, weekend weather from Kevin Williams on this last official weekend of summer. The Capital Connection crew ready to talk pandemic policies and personal liberties. Where do you draw that line? And at the end of the broadcast, looking for some fall fun this weekend? Well, look no further than Pumpkinville in Western New York. We will take you there after this.
We could bring an NFL player, a Republican, and a Democrat together on one stage. The issue of persecuted Christians in Nigeria. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. On Wednesday of this week, I was honored to participate in a media event along with former U.S. Representative Frank Wolf, current U.S. Representative Tulsi Gabbard, former Super Bowl star Ben Watson, and Stephen Anata, president of the International Committee on Nigeria, or ICON. The targeting of Christians in Nigeria for persecution, abduction, and death is so dire that it's been labeled genocide by observers both inside and outside the country. An interactive calendar on the ICON website offers a documented summary of just how many Christians have been victimized each day since December of last year. As I mentioned in my comments for the panel, this campaign against believers in Nigeria has been going on for years. But this calendar offers a visual picture that the persecution of Christians in Nigeria is as recent as last week. For example, just last week, over 20 Christians were killed and over 60 abducted in Nigeria. As Stephen Anata, leader of ICON and host of Wednesday's panel, told me recently on an episode of the Breakpoint podcast, Nigerian Christians are in the midst of an existential crisis. In addition to all of those killed, there are more than 3 million displaced Nigerians. Women and children are being trafficked to Europe. And yet, the Nigerian government has largely embraced a policy of indifference, if not complicity. At most, they might arrest a few perpetrators here or there, but then declare them de-radicalized after a short while, sending them back into the community. Many continue to prey on their Christian neighbors. That's why every member of Wednesday's panel called for external pressure. The Nigerian government must be pressured by the international community, especially the government of the United States of America. Creating that pressure is the mission of ICON. Their comprehensive report titled Genocide in Nigeria, offers the full heartbreaking picture of what's happening in Africa's largest country. After pointing out that more Christians have been killed in Nigeria than Islamists have killed in Syria and the rest of the Middle East combined, former Representative Frank Wolf urged the Trump administration to appoint a special envoy for Nigeria. In addition to working with the UN and other NGOs to coordinate all the efforts designed to confront this crisis, a special envoy will send the signal that the U.S. is serious about the persecution of Christians in Nigeria and is willing to put its sizable weight to work in order to stop it. Inada seconded Wolf's recommendations, as did the rest of the panel, saying that it's more important than ever that the U.S. government act to resolve this crisis. A special envoy with the full backing of our federal government, said Wolf, would have the power to hold perpetrators accountable. And former Super Bowl champion Ben Watson struck perhaps the most inspirational and motivational note of the event when he said, "If we're silent about what's happening in Nigeria, we are in some way complicit." Please come to Breakpoint.org for a link to watch the video of the event. And we urge you to share it widely on social media and then send it to your representatives in Congress. And please pray for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. I said this at the event on Wednesday and I'll say it again. Praying is doing something. Primarily, prayer aligns our hearts to the heart of God. Make no mistake, the heart of God is aligned with our brothers and sisters being persecuted in Nigeria. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 past the hour, weekend weather with Kevin Williams next.
Here is your family life weather forecast. For this afternoon, sunny to partly cloudy and cool. High temperatures upper 50s to the mid-60s. Crystal clear and chilly tonight. Wide-ranging low temperatures around 50 near the shores of the Great Lakes to near the freeze point, with frost in some of the rural areas away from the water bodies. Then for tomorrow, Sunday, sunny, crisp, and cool, with high temperatures in the mid-50s to the middle-60s.
All right, last weekend of summer. Get out there and enjoy. Thank you, Kevin. It is now 21 minutes past the noon hour. This is the Noon Report for Friday, September 18th. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Michael, let's begin with you this week. Governor Wolf defending his pandemic policies, really baring his teeth this week after that judge's ruling declaring a lot of this unconstitutional. Where does this case go from here, and do you ultimately think it will be upheld?
Well, it was quite some buzz that happened in the Capitol and around the state with that judge's ruling from Judge William Stickman about the governor's rulings and mandates on COVID-19. The governor says he's going to appeal it, and it would go to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. Where it goes from there is a question mark. It depends really on what panel of judges they draw in this, and then how it comes down, whether it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's a possibility.
All right, we'll see. I know a lot of folks are interested to see it, whether that gets upheld or not. I know he's got his attorney general out there really going to bat for him. Jason, we spent a lot of time last week talking about mail-in ballots, absentee ballots, but we want to let folks know that if you're not registered, none of this matters. There's just a few more weeks left, right, to register to vote for the big election. Just 45 days away now?
Yeah, it's coming up quick. You know, as we look at that election coming, you're right. If you're looking to register, you need to get that done. But the reality is, for a lot of people, it's going to look a little different this year in how they vote. And so voters can vote a number of ways. I mean, they can request that absentee ballot ahead of time. They can do that up until October 27th. I would not wait that long, as they're not guaranteeing delivery in time if you wait that long. You can do early voting this year, starting October 24th. But there are certain locations, not necessarily where you normally go to vote, where you show up for that. Then the third option, you know, is actually showing up and voting on Election Day. And that's one that I think a lot of folks are looking forward to. We've worked through this pandemic, and frankly, I'm looking forward to going forward and casting my vote on November 3rd. There's something patriotic about it. I'm just excited about the opportunity to cast a ballot this year.
Yeah, you might be in the minority. I heard a statistic the other day that up to 52% of voters could have already cast their ballot before Election Day. Are you hearing that too, Jason?
Well, I'm pretty used to being in the minority here. I'll say that first off. But in reality, I do think that it's something that Republicans, Democrats, I mean, all political parties are becoming more comfortable with. Yeah. It has changed the face of campaigning. I just long for the days. There was a sense of unity in which we all went on the same day. But I recognize it's changing. And there are large percentages of the population that are voting ahead of time now.
Yeah, and there's some consequences to that. We'll talk more about that on the program in coming weeks. But, man, slew of legislation out of Harrisburg, Michael. We'll try to get to as much of it as we can, beginning with House Bill 2530. Your group was so instrumental in getting this passed, protecting the right to attend church even during a pandemic. Why was this measure necessary?
Well, because with the emergency declarations that came after COVID-19, the governor basically had the power to completely shut down things, including houses of worship, churches, synagogues, etc. And the notion that a single individual in our form of government has that power, the power to basically overrule a constitutional liberty in the First Amendment, is something that the legislature said, hey, wait, that's too much power.
Yeah.
And so we're excited for House Bill 2530 that passed by a veto-proof majority. Lead sponsor Clint Owlett did a great job on the legislative floor defending this legislation and promoting it. It now goes to the Senate, and we'll see what happens from there.
All right. Well, last week, Jason, you admonished us to remain vigilant when it comes to preventing the spread of COVID at church. Spoke to a pastor of one of the larger churches in our area this week. He told me less than 30% of regular attendees are back. Are people right to be skittish about going back to church, or do you think that they need to jump in those waters again?
I think a lot of it depends on what region of the state you're in. There are regions where COVID really never had as deep an impact as it did perhaps in Queens and other places in the state. So there are places where people are more skittish. But at the end of the day, you know, even national polling is showing us that about a third of the church, quote unquote, is not coming back after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We have to work on that. There has to come a moment where people say it's time to go back. The church matters, and people need to get back to church. The body of Christ needs to gather corporately and then just to be ministering in its local community.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do online. Not to knock that, but we weren't meant to live like this. I've said that a few times before. Michael, let's talk about what's going on in Lancaster, the rioting there this week. A judge took the unusual step of setting bail at $1 million for several of the protesters who ransacked that beautiful city following a police shooting. Do you agree that these rioters need to be taught a lesson, or do you think that that bail was excessive?
Well, what we've seen around the country is that these rioters, and especially the instigators of the rioters and the ones that are setting out you know, the bricks and all of those sorts of things, are caught, and then it's, you know, catch and release, and they're sent right back out. The notion of bail is to prevent the person who's been arrested from fleeing, or at least to demand that they come back. And, you know, bail is set depending on people's level of income and resources to pay the bail. With the funds that have been set up to get rioters out of jail, with, you know, people like Kamala Harris who have encouraged people to give money to get rioters out of jail, yeah, it makes sense to put these high bails because these are, in effect, rich people because they have this money, these funds backing them to get them out.
Yeah, and as soon as you destroy public property, it's no longer a protest. To me, it's a riot, and there's a difference there. Jason, we've seen New York's COVID numbers statewide remaining at about 1% or even lower. Really good numbers when you consider the national figures. There have been flare-ups here and there. The college situation is a story we're keeping an eye on. But are you surprised at how many schools have canceled sports, whether it be at the collegiate level or high school level? Is this prudent, or is this punishing students here?
Well, I think it's unfair to the students. I mean, you know, we have situations where now the Big Ten is back, the NFL is playing. I mean, we're seeing games are being played, but somehow it's something high school students can't do. And frankly, clubs are playing at the high school level. You just can't play at the interscholastic level. And so that's a real problem here. Near me, Rochester City Schools has canceled all sports. And yet there are private schools here that are playing. So, you know, I think that's something we have to realize is we have been through the pandemic. It has been challenging, but our numbers are very good. And for the mental health of our kids, for their physical health, we really need to get sports going again. In schools, sometimes that's the only thing that some of these students really get excited about. And that's okay. It's the way God has wired them, but let's move forward and let them play.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's a big part of student life, and without it, kids are struggling big time. Michael, another big bill this week, Senate Bill 1287. I hope I have it right. This would make it a misdemeanor to not wear a mask in public. I know the mask debate is a big part of the whole COVID conversation right now. Do you support this legislation?
I would say generally I don't, and I'll just speak personally about this because the mask issue, as you said, is a big debate. It's a big question mark, even in churches. You talk to pastors and others and people on one side that support him, others that don't. I think the issue with masks, especially because there are medical conditions, there are other situations with people who, for those reasons, can't wear a mask. I think to put some kind of criminal penalty, even if it's just a misdemeanor, is a little overreach from government.
All right. And then finally, Jason, making the rounds on media. He is one popular guy. You're on Spectrum News this week talking about this thing called the QAnon controversy. Maybe some of our audience not familiar with that is. Conspiracy theories that get circulated out on social media. Why was it necessary at this point, Jason, for you to speak about this?
Well, I think it's because truth matters. You know, and we're seeing in the political realm that I'm in that QAnon is becoming an issue. There are people that do subscribe to that conspiracy theory. Let me just say that I believe that there are people that are looking to come after President Donald Trump. I think there is truth that there are sex trafficking rings. And those two bits of truth have then been used to expand this theory known as QAnon, mm-hmm. that there is this kind of a cabal of people that are involved in child sex trafficking, that are global leaders trying to take down the president, and it goes into much deeper details that, frankly, it's full of untruths and false claims. And there are times when we as Christians just have to stand up and say, this isn't right. Social media is circulating these ideas, and we need to focus on the main thing. We have to keep the priorities right, focus on the policies, and not all the things that often distract from what we need to be focusing on.
Yeah, and so in other words, don't always believe everything you see and hear on social media.
Amen.
All right, and that will have to be the last word this week, but so many issues, so little time. Michael, if folks have questions about what's happening in Pennsylvania, you have a wonderful website. Where can they find you?
PAFamily.org.
And in New York State, stay informed on the issues. Jason, what's your site, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
All right, guys, thank you very much. The name of the program, Capital Connection, comes your way every Friday during the Noon Report, or you can catch it online anytime at fln.org/podcast. Just click on the news icon.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A large, sprawling high-pressure cell from northern Canada will dominate our weather scene over the next several days and nights. This will mean lots of sunshine and little significant rain before late next week. Parts of our area remain dry, could use the rain, but it's not coming. What is coming, though, will be some frost for parts of the area over the next several nights. Watch the rural areas away from the larger water bodies for the highest risk. For this afternoon, sunny to partly cloudy and cool. High temperatures upper 50s to the mid-60s. Crystal clear and chilly tonight. Wide-ranging low temperatures from around 50 near the shores of the Great Lakes to near the freeze point with frost in some of the rural areas away from the water bodies. Then for tomorrow, Sunday, sunny, crisp, and cool, with high temperatures in the mid-50s to the middle-60s.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Fine at noon, looking for some fall fun this weekend. I see those hands. Well, it doesn't get much more fun than this. Pumpkinville, near Ellicottville, in Cattaraugus County. Even the name is fun. Pumpkinville, open for business and eager to usher in the autumn season.
I think a lot of people missed out on family traditions throughout the summer, and we're really happy to be able to be here and offer this fall family tradition to everybody.
The owner of Pumpkinville says with limited capacity due to COVID restrictions, you got to really plan your October events in September this year.
Absolutely, especially if you're planning to come on one of our busier days, which would be weekends, Columbus Day Monday, and the Friday before Columbus Day weekend, too. Those days probably will fill up very quickly.
Now, aside from the usual seasonal attractions like hay rides and corn mazes, Pumpkinville also features a farmer's market with some of the best apple cider and donuts you will ever see. More information at pumpkinville.com. They're open till the end of October. Some great fall fun right in your own backyard. And that's our world for Friday, September 18th. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.